If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. The text is also printed on the back of your bulletin inserts, which is a sermon outline, which I'd like to encourage you to use as we study God's Word together this morning. Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading the text at verse 3, and we'll continue through verse 14. Praise be to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished upon us. With all wisdom and understanding, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, take note of this, when you believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, the deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, all to the praise of His glory. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Well, some 35 plus years ago, when I was still in high school, I was part of a celebration at Logan Airport in Boston, Massachusetts. Dozens of us from our church gathered there to welcome home a family who was returning from Vietnam with a 3-year-old little girl they were adopting. Excitement filled the air as we saw the plane taxi to the gate, and when the happy parents finally walked into the terminal with this little girl in their arms, everyone erupted into cheers. At first, little Jan wasn't quite sure what to make of all of us, but it wasn't long before she understood that we were celebrating something, that we were actually celebrating her. As our pastor, Pastor John Lindsay, led us in prayer, we thanked God for her and for the new life she would have in this loving Christian family. Well, as we were driving home, I'm sitting in the back seat, and it occurred to me that for this 3-year-old girl, her entire world had changed. She had lived in an orphanage for the first 3 years of her life, and suddenly she had 2 adoring parents all to herself. Little Jan went from the meager resources of that orphanage to the plentiful provision of her new family. Went from the war-torn land of Vietnam to the land of freedom in America. And as I reflect on that, it's no wonder. It's no wonder we had to celebrate. And you know, I can't help but think that when Paul sat down to write his letter to the Ephesians, he too just had to celebrate. And that's why he begins this letter with a song. It's a song of celebration. Look again at verse 3. With exuberant joy, Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with what? With every spiritual blessing." Do you understand what Paul is saying? He is saying that we have everything that heaven has to offer in Christ. Through faith in Christ, we have been and are now blessed with every spiritual blessing. The question is, do we really believe that? Do we really? Do we believe that we are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms and that we really do have every spiritual blessing? Friends, if you are in Christ, if you have placed your faith and trust in Him, then you are a part of all that Christ has done, of all that Christ is, and all that Christ will ever be. And since Christ is in the heavenly realms, you are too. That is why Paul instructs us to set up our minds on things that are above and not on earthly things. Colossians chapter 3. Paul says we're to set our sights on heaven and strive to put heaven's priorities into our daily lives. We need to fill our minds with things from above and concentrate on that which is eternal. So I wonder, is our mind set on heaven? Is our mind filled with thoughts that are true, honorable, and right? Is our mind set on what is pure, excellent, and worthy of praise? Or is our mind instead set on getting that promotion at work? Or perhaps even that brand new car? If that's where our mind is set, Paul says to us this morning, stop! We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Focus on this truth instead. And so this morning I'd like us to focus on that truth and consider exactly what those spiritual blessings are. In one long sentence in the original language, Paul names just a few of the blessings that come to us from God. So with our sermon outline and text in one hand, let's consider what those blessings are. The first blessing is in verse 4. For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in sight. Paul says the first blessing is that God chose us. God chose us. And notice that he says we were chosen even before God made the world. Now think with me. Help me walk through this. Genesis chapter 1 verse 1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, when did creation occur? In the beginning, right? But is that the beginning of God? No. Creation occurred in the beginning of time. The concept of time began with creation. So think, when Paul says, we were chosen before the creation of the world, that means God chose us even before time was invented. Now you say, Pastor Rob, what's the big deal? What's so important about that? Well, I believe that's important because it shows us how salvation is entirely of God and has absolutely nothing with us. Nothing to do with us. The mystery of salvation originated in the timeless mind of God before we ever existed. And friends, that is why our salvation is free. After all, what could we have deserved or in what could our merit exist before the world was made? Nothing. Why? Because we weren't here. All this does is underscore that the whole salvation thing is all about God and His love and His grace and has nothing to do with us. Paul is telling us that we are not saved because we've done anything to deserve it, but because God is gracious and has freely given it to us. There wasn't anything that we could possibly do to influence God's decision to save us. Rather, we were saved, verse 5, according to His unchanging plan, which has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. This leads us to the second blessing, which is the blessing of adoption. The blessing of adoption. Again, look at verse 5. God's unchanging plan was to adopt us as His own children through Jesus Christ. Now, this is a powerful term that Paul is using to show just how strong our relationship, just how secure our relationship with God really is. You see, in Greek and Roman law, adopted children had the same rights and privileges of natural or biological children. And once the adoption had taken place, the relationship was irrevocable. So that means that one could actually disown a natural or biological child, but could not disown an adopted child. Think with me. In the way, having been adopted into God's family, Paul says, we now have the same rights and privileges of God's natural Son, our Lord Jesus Himself. In His infinite love, God has adopted us, and now we are His beloved children. He has accepted us as His very own, and He will listen, and He will never abandon us. He will never abandon us. Well, next comes the blessing of redemption. The blessing of redemption. And redemption is a word that draws on the cultural practice of slavery in ancient Jewish life. You see, it used to be that when people were unable to pay their debts, they would be sold into slavery to work off the debts. But they could be redeemed or bought back if someone else paid the debt for them. And that is exactly what Christ Jesus has done for us. Look at verse 7. God is so rich in kindness that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son. You see, we had a debt that we could not pay because of our sins. But because of His love and grace, God paid the debt for us, which then takes us to the next blessing, the blessing of forgiveness. The blessing of forgiveness. Again, verse 7. He is so rich in grace that He purchased our freedom through the blood of His Son, and our sins are what? Forgiven. They are carried away, never to be seen again. No written accusation stands against us because our sins have been taken away by the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, when we consider the blessings that are ours because God has chosen us, it seems almost too good to be true, doesn't it? We have been adopted into God's family and have been redeemed. Our sins have been forgiven and God's grace has been lavished upon us. Truly, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing heaven has to offer. But friends, there is more. Paul continues, the mysteries of God's will have been revealed to us, verses 8 through 10. We are part of God's glorious inheritance, verses 11 and 12. And then finally, we have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. We have been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Look at verse 13. Paul says, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit. The New Living Translation puts it this way. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit. So in regard to the blessing of sealing, in the ancient world, the owner announced his ownership by attaching be like a his or her name on his toy. This is mine. It belongs to me. And I can show you because my name is written on it. Well, that is what God has done for us. He has tagged us. He has written His name upon us. He has left our hearts. And we have knowledge of His seal because Paul tells us that God's Spirit testifies with our spirit. So that we have a knowledge and understanding that we have been sealed by God. But this seal not only belongs to God, it also assures us of protection. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, we find the same word in verse 30 where we read that the Holy Spirit seals us for the day of redemption. In other words, not only are we owned by our Lord, we are under His protection until the day of judgment, the final day of judgment. Yet Paul goes on to explain further that along with this mark or seal, the Holy Spirit gives or serves as a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. In other words, our inheritance is a done deal. The Holy Spirit is like a down payment. It's a deposit. It's a validating signature on a contract that guarantees that we not only belong to God, but that God will do exactly what He has promised to do. The Holy Spirit is like the first installment, which announces that more of the same is coming. That's a beautiful image. This is not in my manuscript. This is free. There was an artist that drew a magnificent, or actually painted a magnificent picture of Niagara Falls. And when it was submitted into the exhibition of art, the artist had neglected to put a title. And so someone just quickly scribbled under the painting, "More to come." Isn't that an incredible picture of God's grace? There is always, like the gallons of water that spew over the falls, there's always more to come. And the Holy Spirit is our guarantee. The Holy Spirit announces that more of the same is only coming. So reflect with me. Remember the release you experienced in coming to Christ when you knew that your sins were forgiven. Remember the time when in worship you were struck with the awesomeness of who God is. And your only response was to fall, whether literally or figuratively, in worship to Him. Remember the time you obediently followed the Spirit's leading and you were used in a way that you couldn't have ever imagined. Remember the satisfaction of finding the fruit of the Spirit surprising you with goodness where you once responded wickedly. Friends, remember all of these and now multiply it a millionfold. You see, here on earth, we've experienced just the first dollar of a million celestial dollars. We have just just the little taste of what is still to come. Oh, can you imagine the first 5 minutes, what the first 5 minutes will be like when we come into the fullness of our inheritance? Or how about the first hour, the first day, the first month? Or how about this? How about the first 10,000 years? Oh, indeed, verse 14, this is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. Do you see it? Are you beginning to grasp a sense of how blessed we are to be in God's family? To quote an old preacher from the mountains of Tennessee, if this don't light your fire, your wood is wet. Friends, it's no wonder the Apostle Paul had to celebrate. How we praise Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Yet I wonder, have we come today without a spirit of celebration? Are we celebrating today? Now, I'll be honest with you. There are times when I don't feel very blessed. And as a result, I'm not interested in celebrating. There are times when life is just hard. And it's easy to be caught up in the difficulty of life. To the extent that we wonder if there's any reason to celebrate. In 1758, Robert Robinson wrote one of the most beloved hymns of the church. It will be our closing hymn this morning. Come thou of every blessing. Perhaps the words of that great hymn move you like they move me. Come thou fount, it's hymn number 400. Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for what? Call for a celebration. Call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise thy name, I'm fixed upon it, name of thy redeeming love. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Listen to this last line. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, O take and seal it for thy court. Oh, it's a beautiful hymn. But you know, after writing this hymn, Mr. Robinson left the very faith in which he had written about. It wasn't that he no longer believed. He believed in the doctrine, but his own failure and sin caused him to lose his belief that God could actually love him. Well, years later, on a summer evening, he was in a carriage with a lady friend, and they rode past the church. From the open windows of the church building, they heard strains of the hymn Robinson had written so many years before. He began to cry. His friend asked him the reason for his tears, and he told her what the hymn was. And he said to her, I would give everything I own to know the blessing that I knew when I wrote that hymn. Now, friends, I understand that. I get that. I know what that is like. And perhaps you do too. But believe you me, I also know this. I know that there isn't anything that I could ever do. There isn't anything that I could ever think or say that would ever cause God to unseal what He has already sealed. Did you hear that? There isn't anything that you and I could ever do that would cause God to ever unseal what He has already sealed. So knowing that, oh, how I wish I could have a conversation with Mr. Robinson. If I could have that opportunity, this is what I would tell him. I would say, "Sir, it is not your sin that has broken off your relationship with God. Christ has already taken care of that on the cross at Calvary. You see, the sin problem is already taken care of. That is not the issue." "No, Mr. Robinson, God is far away because you are not celebrating His blessings. The one who knows you best loves you most. And He has adopted you into His family. He has purchased your freedom from sin. All your sins have been forgiven and His grace has been poured out and lavished upon you. And all of these blessings are sealed. They are guaranteed by God's Holy Spirit. So, Mr. Robinson, go to Him. Go to Him now. He won't be angry. Rather, He will love you, and it will be as if you had never left. It will be as if you had never left." Well, just like a little 3-year-old Vietnamese girl named Jan. Of course, that's her English name. We couldn't pronounce her real name. Those of us who have placed their faith in Christ have been adopted from a war-torn world to live in a new country with their Heavenly Father. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Huh. And no wonder we have to celebrate. But friend, if you haven't placed your faith and trust in Christ, why not come to Him today? Make things right with God today and join the celebration. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, let the joy of our belonging to You show itself in all that we do and all that we say. Help us to share the joy of our salvation with others. May we never be ashamed of our Lord Jesus and His gospel, even if people should ridicule us and resent our invitation to celebrate with us. Lord, use us to bring the knowledge of Christ to those who do not yet know the joy which only God the Father can bring. Oh, Father, as You have so graciously blessed us, make us a blessing to those around us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.